Okay. So, the last year we had been discussing, let's remember how we got to it, we were discussing the borders of that Rabbi Yehuda sets forth in our Mishnah. What exactly are those the borders of? Without getting back into all the questions and answers, Rabbi Tam and Moshe Rishonim said the borders of Gvulot Oli Bavel. The Ri said, no, just the borders of the Iker Yishuv. And the Rambam said pretty clearly that they are the borders of Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim. You know, which, okay, the geography is, you're going to have to give perhaps some duchic answers like the Nosei Kelim do, but that's the Rambam Shita. We asked why the Rambam was bringing Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim here. Someone showed me that Chidushi Reb Nachum suggested because this takana was made in the days of Oli Mitzrayim, and that's why the Rama would use that. Okay, that's a Chiddush, say this takana dates back to the time of Bayit Rishon. But I thought more likely it's the Rama and Lishita say that the Rama in general has an agenda to resurrect, as it were, the Gvulot of Oli Mitzrayim. We saw them in Chaschinach. Every time said, can't be. There could be no logical reason why any halacha would depend on Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim, because that Kedusha was batel. And we mentioned the Maharit says there is no status whatsoever to the Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim nowadays, because that Kedusha was batel. But the Rambam, certainly when it came to Smicha, and then we certainly deduced a few other nafkaminas, held that all of Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim was called Eretz Yisrael, and the Rav nicknamed this, named his father, Shame Eretz Yisrael, versus Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha is only the Gvulot of Oli Bavel, but all of Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim is Shame Eretz Yisrael, which would explain why all the Stam Halachot that apply in Eretz Yisrael apply in the Gvulot of Oli Mitzrayim, even though it doesn't have quote-unquote Kedusha. What is the nature of which types of things depend on Shame Eretz Yisrael, and which types of things depend on Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? That's where we left off. One possibility, which, you know, maybe would work for someone else, you know, someone else's sheet in the end, I don't know, is that if you put some of the things together, like what, according to the Rambam, does depend on Shem Eretz Yisrael, Smicha, Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur, you know, were the two closest things, then perhaps Egla Rufa and Kiddush HaChodesh. Perhaps the whole Kvura and Chibas Aretz, etc. So we suggested that one way of looking at it is that, no, when it comes to the tzibur, being the homeland, organizing us into a tzibur, as the Avnei Nezer said, that it makes us into a corporate entity, then all of Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim, Shame Eretz Yisrael, is what makes us a communal entity. However, and when it comes to what's mechayiv the individual and more mitzvos, that's only Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and that depends on Gvulot Oli Bavel. People had a lot of kashas about that. And I think the reason why that I don't think that's the right shot in the Rambam is because of what the Rambam says about Chala. The Rambam says, this is where we left off. Okay, now we're continuing. In the Perish Mishnayos, when the Rambam discussed Chala in the Perish Mishnayos, I think I printed it out. Yes, in Hilchos Chala, the Rambam is very, very explicit, where he says, "Umikziv aranar ve'aramana v'hi eretz yisrael sheyachziku olei mitzrayim v'lo nitkatsha bimei Ezra." Right? That's very explicit. It's not in the Gvulot of Oli Bavel, only olei mitzrayim, etc., etc. V'yesh l'shir l'fi shehi min ha-Torah she'nemar ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz. He says explicitly, chalas d'oraisa. Again, if we say chalas chayv d'rabbanan, that wouldn't prove anything. Okay, midrabbanan, the gzeira is an extended a lot of things. You know, midrabbanan, you also chayv in trumas or aistros in Egypt. That doesn't prove any kedusha or any status. But he says, chalas d'oraisa ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz. It's called ha'aretz. Chala is midoraisa in the gvulot of Oli Mitzrayim. Even though it's not the outside the Gvulot Oli Bavel. Very, very explicit. No two ways about it. Right? Chal is clearly a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Yachid. Right? So now the question for the Rambam is, which halachas depend on Shem Eretz Yisrael and which halachas depend on Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? Why is it that Smicha being counted in the census for purpose of Parhelim Dovah Shel Tzibur of Horios, and let's assume Egla Rufa, etc., and Chala
applying Eretz Yisrael defined by only Mitzrayim, by Shem Eretz Yisrael, but Trumos and Maestros and Shvias only depends on the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael defined by the Gula of Olei Bavel. So I think the answer to this is Pashut, at least Pashut to some people, there's a fundamental difference between Chala and Shumut Umaisrot and Shvias. What is that fundamental difference between Chala and Shumut Umaisrot? They seem awfully similar, right? As a matter of fact, the Chala and the Truma even has the exact same halachic status once it is hufrash. Exactly. Chovet HaGuf versus Chovet HaKarka. What we mean by that is, and here, you know, I threw these all in brackets because, you know, we have a lot to cover in Masechet Gittin. But there is a Rashi in Kiddushin, the Mishnah in Kiddushin says, right, all mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz are eina nohagot ela ba'aretz. Right? Meaning, those two words, aretz, I hope when everyone learned this Mishnah, they realized, don't mean the same thing. What they mean is, any mitzvahs that depend on the ground, the dirt, right? Any mitzvahs that depend on the ground only apply in the land of Israel. Mitzvahs which don't depend on the ground, you know, on the soil, that's the word. Any mitzvahs that depend on the soil, aretz soil, only apply in the land of Israel, aretz Israel. Any mitzvahs that don't depend on the soil, you know, such as tefillin and petach hamor and whatever, you know, apply, like most of the mitzvahs apply whether in Israel or whether in Chutz La'aretz. So Rashi there says, oh, mitzvahs that apply to the soil are things that, like, you, from things you grow, like trumos, maestros, and challah. But the Sefer Amakneh there says, he doesn't explicitly quote this Rambam, you have to put it together, but he says, no, he doesn't think that's true at all. And he used that to answer Kash of Tosos, which are not the Ayin Shum. He says, trumos and maestros depend on the soil, but Chala doesn't depend on the soil. Why not? And here, at least according to the Rambam, I'm not saying there aren't other ways of reading the Gemara or of Paskin by Machria and Psak, the Rambam is very explicit. The Kesef Mishnah. Okay. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't think so. Rav Chaim does. But the Rambam is fairly, I think the Rambam is very explicit, even though the Kesef Mishnah has trouble understanding it. The Rambam says in Hilchot Trumot, Peirot, Chutz La'aretz sheniknasu la'aretz. What if you bring in Peirot Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? So, Chayavin b'chala sheneamar shama. They're Chayavin chala as it says shama. You're there. You're in Israel. But that's halach l'maisa, right? When we buy bread, we buy, go to the supermarket or bakery, wherever we buy bread, Angels, Berman, Rami Levy, whatever it may be, bread in the supermarket, that is Peirot Chutz La'aretz sheniknasu la'aretz. Right, they grow very little wheat in Israel. All the wheat comes from Turkey, wherever it comes from. They bring it here, and then they bake it into bread here. Right, so is that chayiv? So Ram says chayiv and chala, as says shama, it's here. And he likewise he says shama tem chayiv being very sorry being rechutz. Here you're chayiv, regardless of where it grew. If you need the dough in Israel, you're chayiv. V'im nikbu l'maiser b'yad Yisrael hashenach shlo arz chayiv maiser divrayim. However, if it's nikbu, if you bring in produce for any purpose of trumas or maestros, and you nikbul maestros means you finish all the melacha, right? You bring in sheaves of wheat, and you thresh and winnow and all those other things that we're not sure what they look like. You do that here, then you're only chayim midrabanan. So by chala, he seems pretty clear to me. Daraisa says shama pasuk. So why in chala if you import it? Why are chala import? Why is imported produce chayim and chala midaraisa? And the Jews are maestros with your banan. So I admit, the Kesef Mishnah here on the side tries to say there's no fundamental difference. B'docha gadol, but Rav Chaim points out there's an obvious difference right there, alatar. He says there's an obvious difference. Why? Trumas and maestros is a mitzvah satluyas ba'aretz. Trumas and maestros depends on the soil. What makes it chayim trumas and maestros? How it grew. The process of growth is mechayim trumas and maestros. How do we know? Because, for example, if it reached shlish, right, which is when it becomes edible, right, if it grew to a third of its size, and it was owned by Kekdesh, or it was hefker owned by a goy, etc., then it's potter. It has to grow b'chiyuv. The soil has to give it its chiyuv. Chala has nothing to do. I know chala grows in the ground. I know where the hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, I also say that bracha. But It has nothing to do, the mitzvah of challah has nothing to do with the soil. The mitzvah of challah, the whole parsha of challah doesn't start until you mix water and, okay, for learning Maseches Challah, we'd have to say, is it mixing water and flour? Is it kneading the water with the flour? But that's a very subtle difference for our purposes, right? Until you knead the dough, right? Therefore, trumas or maestros, the mitzvah of challah, depends on the soil. It grows chayiv in trumas or maestros. Right? From the moment you pick it, I know maybe you can eat a rye, maybe you can't. From the moment you pick it, there's a chalos of trumas or maestros. Right? From the moment it grows, it can become trumas or maestros. Challah doesn't start till you need the dough. Challah has nothing to do with the soil. Yet, coincidentally, it grew in the soil once. You know, a lot of things grew in the soil once. That doesn't make that a din of... mitzvah tzilus baritz. You know what? My sukkah also grew in the soil once. At least the roof. Right? That doesn't make it a mitzvah tzilus baritz. Right? It's shemitah. It's obviously in the soil. You can't work the soil. So I think here it is pashut what the difference is for the Rambam. The kedushah, there... You have to ask yourself two questions. Sometimes there are mitzvahs that depends if you're located in Israel or not. Are you located in Israel? Is there smicha? It depends where you're located. Is there challah? It depends where you're located. Then there's things, it depends what soil it grew in. Right? Challah, we see it doesn't depend on the soil. Because if you import challah, as long as you need it in Israel, you're chayiv midaraisa, according to the Rambam.
Maybe the other way you are also, Rabbi. Maybe if you take what Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, you're chayiv in challah. Maybe it's only
No, that's not true. That's the first half of this Rambam. He says, you're not chayiv midaraisa if you bring it to Chutz Laretz. Not true. So I think then it's very pashut, and the truth is this is not give me half a second, sorry. And I'll bring one other raya. The Gemara mentions in a few places. The Gemara mentions a few places that when did the Jews become chayiv in Trumas or Maestros? When they set foot in Eretz Yisrael, they're chayiv in Trumas or Maestros? 14 years later, after Sheva Shekipshu and Sheva Shechoku. When did they become Chayiv and Challah? As soon as they walked in. Right? So, what's the difference? So, the difference is very clear. Trumas or Maestros, mitzvah tluyas b'kedushas ha'aretz. Trumas or Maestros depends on kedushas ha'aretz. That's why it only applies in Gvulah or Libavel. What is b'kadosh the soil? To make it kadosh soil? So that it will, whatever grows in it will grow with kedusha? Only Sheva Shekipshu, Sheva Shechilku, you need a certain, I would say, ritual, but you need to meet certain very specific requirements. Challah is not mitzvah tluyus baritz. It only applies in Israel, like Egla Rufa, and like Smicha, and like Parel and Davar Shel Tzibur, counting Parel and Davar Shel, etc., like Kiddushah. It only applies in Israel, but it has nothing to do with the soil. So once they set foot in Israel, it applies. Basically what I'm saying is once they set foot in Israel, it had Shem Eretz Yisrael. But to get Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, they had to wait 14 years. And that's why Chal applied right away, and Trumas Maestros didn't, and that's exactly why. In the Gemara, there's one Havamina. Havamina, Shita, probably a Havamina. Or even a Shita, that even if Kedushas Eretz is Batel, Chal is still Doraisa, which makes a lot of sense, because Shem Eretz Yisrael is not Batel. And that's why the Rambam paskins that Trumas Maestros only where there's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, only Batel, but Chal is Doraisa anywhere there's Shem Eretz Yisrael. It's really... I mean, it comes together so well that it's not even a chiddush to point this out. It's just the obvious sheet of the Ram. Now, could someone else have a totally different opinion about challah? Rashi could you say, Mr. Louis Bart, someone else could. But the Rambam's opinion is very intuitive because he just says challah has nothing to do with the soil. It has to do with whether you're located in this land or a different land. And why does it have nothing to do with the soil? Because it doesn't start until you're making dough. When you're making dough, what does that have to do with soil?
And also it seems you need an answer for why it should be depending on where you're located and not just where the bread comes from.
Okay, and you want to give that answer?
Yeah, I just want to know.
Okay.
As long as you could explain why Kala should be.
Okay, fair enough. Right, you don't actually have any kasha in what I'm saying. You're just pointing out that, okay, it would be interesting to wonder why, if it's not mitzvah to lease parts, why it only applies in Israel. So I saw the someplace, Rav Lichtenstein wanted to be a dayik, maybe it was the name of the Rav, that's why the Rambam has to say, Chala only applies in Israel, because it says, Ba'acholchem ulechem ha'aretz. Why does he need a pasuk? Why doesn't he just say, mitzvah to lease parts all only apply in Israel? No, because it's not mitzvah to lease parts, just exeris ha'kasim only applies in Israel. So they're asking, why is there exeris ha'kasim only applies in Israel? So he's pointing out, Chala in the Torah comes not in the middle of agricultural mitzvahs, but next to Nesachim and next to something not exactly parallel to Shal Tzibur, but the next best thing, Iri Avodah Zarah Shal Tzibur, right? Which might imply that it has something to do with our, collective worship of Hashem, like Nesachim Beis HaMikdash, and like the parallel of Shal Tzibur, and, Yesh Ladon Od. We'll leave that as a suggestion for now. And I think, just I'll point out that all of this, I think, is bechlal the words of the Kaftar Vaferach, that in the Kaftar Vaferach he says, if I can find the right line, he says something like, I hope I can find the right line. Okay, maybe I cannot. Maybe I'll have to leave. Okay, lo mishana. Okay, so I think that's the real shot of the Rambam. Shemer Yisrael, Kedusha Yisrael, and Shemer Yisrael includes anything that has to do with where we are located, that's not connected to the soil. And Kedusha Yisrael, those things are connected directly to the soil. And Challis, even though it seems agricultural to us, it's not really agricultural. It's not related to the soil. It has to do with your household. It actually has nothing to do with agriculture. It has to do with making bread in your house. And that's why it applies midoraisa anywhere there's shame Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the last thing that I just wanted to point out is someone mentioned a funny thing. What about Eiver HaYarden, right? So I don't want to get into that now. That's really going a little too far afield. But there's an interesting status to Eiver HaYarden, which is that Eiver HaYarden was definitely within the borders of Gvulot Oli Mitzrayim, right? That's in the Chumash, right? Remember, Sichon, Og, etc., right? Basic Bible stories. Whether or not it was in the Gvulot Oli Bavel is very controversial, as I mentioned. The Achronim argue. But we do have an interesting halacha. You don't bring Bikurim Midoraisa. I'm not taking the gun to the Rishu Rabban. You don't bring Bikurim Midoraisa from Eiver HaYarden. Why don't you bring Bikurim Midoraisa from Eiver HaYarden? It says because it's not Zavas Cholav Udvash. Meaning, I'm going to assume, I don't know, did they like check the measure of the Cholav Udvash, or did they just look in the Pesukim and saw in the Pesukim it wasn't called Zavas Cholav Udvash? And it's not Eretz Kanaan. I mean, it's not in the Gvulos of Parshas Matos, right? So, what is the nature of this halacha that you don't bring Bikur from Eiver HaYarden? Is there a unique status to Eiver HaYarden? So, one could say that, no, it's a special Xeris custom of Bikurim having to do with Zavas Chalav Udvash. You know, it's a local thing in Bikurim, Zavas Chalav Udvash. It has nothing to do with broader issues. You know, it's just Chazal checked. And they saw there wasn't so much Chalav Udvash. So they said, okay, it's lacking a technical requirement to Bikurim. The Rav understood that that there's something deeper going on here. It's not just that Chazal went around and brought buckets and yardsticks and measured the Cholav Udvash and decided there was a technical problem with Eiver HaYarden. No, it's that Chazal said Eiver Zavas Cholav Udvash is what Hashem calls Zavas Cholav Udvash. You know, it's not something they went around with yardsticks and scales. And they looked at Parshas Matos and Hashem said, this is the land. And he describes Eretz Canaan, right? Not exactly our modern day state of Israel, right? It's like shifted north. Right, doesn't include the Negev, it doesn't include half of Lebanon. But it doesn't describe Eiver HaYarden. We all know the Yarden is the Gvul, right? In Parshas, open up your Chumash, Parshas Matos,
the Yardin is the Gvul. It doesn't include Eivor HaYardin.
So the Rav understood, no. There's something unique about the status of Eivor HaYardin. In what sense? It's Shem Eretz Yisrael. It's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's Shem Eretz Yisrael. It's in the borders of Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim.
You know, it was at least Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in the time of Bayis Rishon when there was Kedushas in the Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim.
But it's not Eretz HaNevcheres.
And the Rav, what he invents, you know, but decides there's a third getter called Eretz HaNivcheres. What does Eretz HaNivcheres mean? Not the land conquered by Ole Mitzrayim, not the land conquered by Ole Bavel, but Nafuth conquering, the land Hashem promised in the Torah. When Hashem said, again, I'm not talking about Avraham Avinu, Bris Ben Absarim, because that is for the Yemos Mashiach that includes many more countries. I'm talking about when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the Jews, I'm taking out the Eretz Yisrael to go to Eretz Canaan, the Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash. And then Hashem did, you know, walk them through the Midbar, and at the end, in Parshas Matos said, and here's the land I took you out of Mitzrayim to go to. Here's my chosen land. The chosen land didn't include Eivor HaYardin. Did not include Eivor HaYardin. So the Rav says there's a third getter called Eretz HaNivcheret. There's a third getter called Eretz HaNivcheret, which is not sort of from our perspective of only this and only that, and but from Hashem's perspective, what land is special to Hashem that does not include Eivor HaYardin? So the Rav understood this as the technical point, is that there's some getter of Eretz Yisrael that it is fundamentally missing. This shita corresponds to the famous shita of the Shuk Tashmitz, who says that, who says something very fascinating that Eric about Eivor HaYardin. He says it has the Kedushas Mitzvos, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but not the, what he calls, Kedushas Shechina. It doesn't have the metaphysical holiness of Eretz Yisrael. It has the halachic requirements of Trumas or Maisos, but it's missing the metaphysical specialness of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Shechina, it's missing the Shechina, and therefore, the one could say, perhaps, if one wants to be bold, I don't know, for the Rambam, as Kedusha Yisrael and not Shem Eretz Yisrael, if one wanted to be bold. But the okay, that's not what the Rav says. So Lamaisa, if you're asking, let me just point out what's the status of Eivor HaYardin. So one shita, you could say it's Eretz Yisrael Gomor. Just there's a technical tour me mitzvahs bikurim. Or you could say, as the Rav says, it's Shem Eretz Yisrael. Who kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but it's not Eretz HaNivcheres. And what's the nafgamina of Eretz HaNivcheres? It could be the nafgamina of Eretz HaNivcheres is only Bikurim. Why? Because what is Bikurim about? Bikurim is specifically about, right? Thank you, Hashem, for taking us out of Mitzrayim and promising us this land and bringing us to it. So therefore, when you're talking about the land Hashem intended for us, it's not the land Hashem intended for us, not Nivcheres. Or you could broaden it a little, right? This is what the Rav says, and he may or may not agree with the Tashbates, who says it has Kedushas Mitzvos, but not Kedushat Shechina. It's not just a technical Torah. It's not that it's not the Hashem's land of Israel that he promised us. It's just what we ended up making the land of Israel. But maybe you could go a little further and say that it is Kedushat. Yeah, here we are, sorry. It has Kedushat Mitzvahs, but it doesn't have the metaphysical specialness of Eretz Yisrael. It's not, you know, it's holy in terms of what briskers mean when they say holy, like Chayv and Mitzvah, so it's not holy what Balabatim mean when they say holy. Like, oh, it's holy. You know, it doesn't have the Shechina. The Radvaz says something like that also. The third Halach of Elvastrumos, Pergalavach and Gimel, says something that Dilma, maybe, if they conquer more than the original land of Israel, he's not talking about Eivor HaYardin, he's talking in general. What if they conquer more? Kibush Rabin says, that land in Chinoba Trubas or Maestros Minotaur, but in Kedush there's Shal Mamishlo. It's not Mamish Kadosh. I assume by Mamish he means the same thing as the Tashbates. It's not like Mamish, like holy, it just has the mitzvah. So here I'd say, also the Radvaz, if you want to know where that is, it's in your Rambam, Hachas Trumos, Perak Aleph, Halach Gimel.
The Rambam that you gave us, that you put in brackets, in Rishimat Shurim, in Bam Nitzir, There the Rav brings the raya from the Mishnah of Esther Kedusha saying that Bikurim and Omer are mentioned a special thing, not the other mitzvot of the others, because these two have to do with Kedusha Yerushalayim.
With Mikdash. Ah, so according to the that's a famous diuk of the Rav, right, that you know the Mishnah claims that there are 10 Kedushos, the outermost of the Eretz Yisrael, because you bring Bikurim.
Why didn't it say Eretz Yisrael to bring Trumas of Isis? Because you give Trumas of Isis. It says, no, because all these Kedushas are extensions of the Mikdash. Trumas of Isis don't go to the Mikdash, Bikurim does. In which case, it says, it's interesting, maybe Eretz and Evcheres means the land that's Kadosh as an extension of the Mikdash, and that could tie into Shechina also. Yeah, when it comes to mitzvahs of the Mikdash, it's not Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to mitzvahs you do at home, it is Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's very interesting, especially since what is the Beis HaMikdash called in the Rambam? Beis HaMikdash. Right. Okay, and if you make a sushtel, connect from the Rambam's language to the Rav's language, necessarily, right? That's, you know, some people would. But anyway, okay, so we will leave that for now.
Can't you just say simply, I mean, when you do the Bikurim, you have a vidui, and you say that, I share it, Hashem no san lonu. Avery Yarday was not totally in that concept of Hashem no san lonu. They took it by themselves after.
Right, or at the very least, well, actually before. Asher nishba lavosecha, right? It's not bechlal de shvua. And maybe that's what it means by Eretz HaNivcheret. You know, it's not the land that Hashem chose for us. So the Rav also, you could say it's something more narrow. Okay, just in Bikurim, you can't say this is the land you wanted to bring us to. No, this land we ended up getting. Or you could see it as something broader, that it's just lacking a certain level of Kedusha, and then you have to go through every halacha and see where it fits. Okay, there's a lot more you could say. There's many halachas we haven't discussed. Do they apply here? Do they apply there? Shem Yisrael, Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. We will leave it for now, though.
No matter how you say it, what comes out is that anything that has, according to the Rav, Shem Eretz Yisrael, or maybe Shem or Eretz HaNeferes, is a place where at least there was Jews lived there, they didn't live there all the time.
Right.
Gvulot haftacha, the bir gvulot haftacha, nobody lived there. Nobody
correct, meaning the gvulot of, at least according to Rashi in the mainstream, because those are familiar with, the gvulot of Brit Bein Habitarim, which include Ammon and Moab and Edom, which were not in the gvulot of Mitzrayim, those have no halachic relevance, because that's a messianic haftacha and we never lived there.
But that is Eretz HaNeferet.
But it's not in the Gvulot of Parshas Matos, so Yesh Ladim. Okay, weiter. Now I think we're ready to move on. I think we really got shot in that, and now we're ready to move on. Someone will say, there are a few points in the Mishnah that we didn't discuss yet. There may be a Diuk and Rashi about general funny nephthim we didn't discuss yet. We'll have time to come back to things. But let's move on to the end of the Mishnah, which, if you might have noticed from where everything was in the Marmakomos, according to most Rishonim, was the next Mishnah on Daf Tes, right? And the way it's printed by us is the end of this Mishnah. In general, we've noticed that whether how they print the Mishnayos and Shas Bavli, you know, how many lines of Mishnah they print and how many Gemaras on it is sort of random and arbitrary. You know, just like they're Prakim and Shas, they print all the Mishnayos, right? Beginning of Shavuos, beginning of Sanhedrin, then all the Gemara. So, Lachor, there's really two Mishnayos. I haven't checked in my set of Mishnah. But the second Mishnah in our Shas is printed here. And what does it say? Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael. What if you bring a get be'eretz Yisrael? So the whole point, mechutz l'aretz, you say funny nechtam. The obvious thing is because they're in Yisrael. You don't say funny nechtam. That's true. But then what happens? Einu tzar shem funny nechtam. Okay, we would have hoped the Mishnah would say that. Vim yesh lov orim yiskayim b'chosmav. Ah, but what about? Now let's assume now. I know there's a Rav and a Rava. Let's assume, certainly it sounds like from here, that at least one of our concerns is how do you makayim the shtaros? Let's review kiyum shtaros, right? Midaraisa, we assume that any shtar, the signatures are authentic. Okay. How do we know that? It's a Gemara Daf Gimel and Aleph, which will spend a lot of time. I'm warning you now. I'm going to try to get through Daf Bezum and Bez relatively quickly. When we hit Daf Gimel and Aleph and we actually start learning about how shtaros work, we're going to have to sit for a while and figure out like what a shtar is. So be prepared to not really sit for a while in Daf Gimel and Aleph, but see all the right sugyas and shas. Tell you what a shtar is. It'll be very important. Someone told me once that a chasna of the Rav was somehow deep in thought. Then turned to the fellow next to him and says, I'm very bad at accents, so I'll try my best, but it won't be a good one. He says, my grandfather cracked the atom of the star. Okay, back in those days, it was a big deal to crack the atom, right? It's true. But we're not getting up to that. Yet, me, the Arisa, we assume every star is authentic. Why? I'm not going to answer on a deep level based on Reb Chaim cracking the atom of the star. I'm going to answer on a surface level. Why, me, the Arisa, do we assume every star is valid? That's what it says in Daf Gimel and Aleph. It doesn't say why. What? Kamish Nechri do some Vez and Dummy, which, okay. Every star is considered valid. Why? So some of the Rishonim add, we'll have to see what this means. Lochatzef Lizyufe. We don't assume people will forge signatures. Why not? Simple pshat is because if you forge a signature on a star, you're going to be found out at some point. Meaning that star will last for 100 years. Eventually, someone will check against the real signature of these Eidim, and you will be in trouble. So we assume that shtaros are, or for whatever the reason is, we'll get back to it. We assume shtaros are valid. Midrabanan, there's an institution called Kiyum Shtaros, which is, what do we call that nowadays? Notarizing, right? That's what's called in Hebrew also. The notarizing signatures, nowadays in America or Israel, you go to a notary. In those days, you would go to a Beis Din. I think you can go to a Beis Din, a Beit Mishpat also nowadays. But it's cheaper to go to a notary. So the Beis Din would have to have the Eidim come in and say, this is our signature, or get someone else to come in and testify this is their signature, etc. Then Beis Din would sign on the bottom that we've notarized the shtar called the henpek, kiyum shtaros. Okay. It seems to be that part of the problem here is how are you mekayim the shtar? If it comes from Medinas Hayam, then what's going to happen? Someone will question, is this a real get or a forged get? And since it came from Medinas Hayam, there'll be no way to prove one way or the other, and this woman will get into all kinds of awkward situations. Therefore, they're metaken. So Shliach should say, I saw it being written and signed with my own eyes, and that's mekayim the shtar. Okay. What about an Eretz Yisrael? You don't say funny nechtam, funny nechtam. Why? Because you're in Eretz Yisrael. If someone comes and complains that it's forged, then since it came from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, you'll find the witnesses then. It'll take you a week, it'll take you 2 weeks, not the end of the world. Right, within Eretz Yisrael, you can always find the witnesses or people who know their signature to be Mekayim the Shtar. Okay, seems fairly straightforward. There's a deal in Daf Tesla. Over it means we're not going to get into that now. The deal is, what if Einol of Orin, right? It's a maybe get, Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the husband's not here. Someone shows up with a get within Eretz Yisrael. And there's no Orin, no one complains now. I don't know what will happen if the husband shows up. But right now the husband's not here, and no one complains. Then the wife's allowed to remarry. That's Pashup Shat, no two ways about it in the Mishnah. The wife is allowed to remarry. What is the question that bothers all the Rishonim? The question that bothers all the Rishonim is that we have a halachic concept called Ta'aninan. What does Ta'aninan mean? Ta'aninan means that Beis Din tainas on the behalf of those who can't taina for themselves. So one example is Yisomim, right? If someone has a claim on the estate, the guy's dead, he can't make tainas to defend himself. So Beis Din tainas on behalf of the Yorshim, whatever taina. The Morish could have tainted. Lekuchos. I come with a shtar, right? Tzvi bought a field from Jake. And I come with a shtar, the Torah of Lekuchos, that Jake owes me money so I can take the field from Tzvi. Tzvi obviously doesn't know any tainas. What does he know between me and Jake? He's not involved in this. So Bezim tainted on his behalf whatever Jake could have tainted for himself. And likewise, when you're Gove Shalom B'funav, let's say I come to, I have a star in Tzvi. And Tzvi happens to be in Japan. So I come to his, to hometown of Haifa, where he has a house. And I say, okay, I have a star. He owes me $1 million. House worth $1 million. Give me the house. Tzvi's not here to defend himself. So Beis Din tainas in his behalf, whatever he would have tainted. That's Tanina.
Can you not do a din Torah on
In general, you can't. But in cases where like it's not shy to invite him, then you can. Okay, let's
You can, right? That's an udah. How it works out, not a problem there. Okay, so Kitzer, what's Tosa's question? What about Taninan? Tosa's question, what about Taninan? After all, what's the rule? Let's remember the Gzera of Kiyum Shtaros, the Dindar on Kiyum Shtaros. If I come with a Shtar Midoraisa, we assume it is valid. But if you claim Mizuyath, then I have to be Mekayim the Shtar. That's the normal rule. I come with a Shtar, I say, Charlie owes me $1 million. He has to pay me $1 million if he claims it's forged. Then I have to authenticate these signatures. I have to be Mekayim. So Tosa asks the obvious question. He doesn't even ask it as a question. He just goes straight to the potential answers. Tosa says, why don't we taninan mezuyef in this case on behalf of the husband? The woman's getting this get and she's going to remarry. And the husband's not here to defend himself. Why don't we taninan on behalf of the husband mezuyef and we acquire kiyum shtaros? That is Tosa's question, right? Because there's no special rule in Eretz Yisrael, funny nechtam. There's no special rule. We just leave it on the doraisa on the regular level. On the regular halachas. Regular halachas, we should do taninan if the guy's not here. That is Tosos's question. So what are the answers to this question? So one answer, which Tosos rejects, but all the other Rishonim quoted the name of Tosos, right? It's not a stira, right? There are different Bali Tosos. You know, whenever Tosos rejects something, that obviously means the shita of one of the Bali Tosos, right? Tosos doesn't decide to reject things that they never heard any Talmud Chacham say. So our Tosos rejects this answer, but all the Rishonim quote this in the name of Tosos. You know, who do I mean by all the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ran, and the Rashba and this Chidush Miksavya, that's the first half of the Mosadar of Kuk Ritva, all quote in the name of Tosos, or the Bali Tosos, even though our Tosos says ridiculous can't be. What's the first answer? Here's the question. Lama lo taninan mezuyaf abor haba'al. Right? Why don't we taninan mezuyaf on his behalf? And maybe get better straw, and it's clear that we don't, because only Mishal of Orin is Chayav Achoso. If there's no Orin, then Shalom al Yisrael. So what answer does Tosas not like? Then we're never Torah Mezuyef. Not in Dinim Onus either. Tosas says maybe we're never Torah Mezuyef. Right? Tosas doesn't like this. Meaning whoever, I don't know who they are, whoever wrote Tosas on our daf. But all the Rishonim quote in the name of Tosas, right? So the Rishonim B'Shem Tosas, right? But our Tosos, it's only Havamina. He doesn't even say Yesh Omer. He says Ha. He says, you know, it's not even Havamina, right? What does he say? He says, Avoba Mamon Tanina Mzoyef. But in Mamon, I'll now give you 40 lines of proof that were Tanina Mzoyef, which means, obviously, that he was arguing with people who felt otherwise. So, one answer is Lo Tanina Mzoyef Bishom Makom Afilu the Dine Mamonos. We never tie a Mezuyef. Right? It never says explicitly in Shas that we ever have Tanina of Mezuyef. Tosas wants a Diyukin. We never tie a Mezuyef. Tosas doesn't like this. Why does Tosas not like this? Yes, in Diyukin, we're not going to get into all the proofs back and forth because we don't have time. But he also has a Svara. He says, in Kemo Shavkas Chai Lachol Beria. Says, hold on, if we're not tending Mezuyef, everyone will just wait till someone goes to Japan, come with a shtar against them, and take advantage, because there'll be no one to defend the poor guy. And he says, well, if the shtar, they owe money, then bezel tanina that you paid, harua, but we'll just write a shtar on the right. I'll wait for Binny to go to Japan. He's a nice house. I'll come with a shtar that I forged, two signatures. It says he sold me the house, or he gave it as a matana, and I'll take his house, and that would be ridiculous. Right? L'shavkas chai l'chol beria. Okay. So Tosas thinks that it must be we're Tanina Mezuyef. Okay, the other Mefarshim answer that. Okay, hold on a second. And what about Hashem Yisbarach? Right? Midoraisa? There's no claim Mezuyef, we trust the Shtar. Why wasn't Hashem worried about L'shavkas chai l'chol beria? So the answer is obviously Hashem knew that people wouldn't take advantage to do this all the time because in the end they knew it would be found out and they'd be in trouble. So, okay, it's not necessarily such a convincing taina. L'maisa, Tosos rejects this, but the Shonu put in the name of Tosos. Let me ask you one simple question. Why not? After all, in Shas, we're tanin on lots of things, right? For example, Parua, right? Or Tzarti. We're tanin on behalf of the Yorshim Lekuchos, the people who aren't here, etc., that they repaid. So why wouldn't we be, why wouldn't we taina mezuyif? Why not? According to this day? Ah, good. So we have two answers. Both those answers are found in our Tosos doesn't say explicitly. Like, according to that opinion that he doesn't love, or doesn't like at all, doesn't even tolerate, why would you not have Tanin and a Mezuyif? Right? But I gave you the Tosos Rush here, who gave two explanations, and really Tosos on the daf all over Shas brings these two explanations. So, why not? So Tosos Rosh gives two, and these two explanations are found in Tosos all over Shas. One is, we'll just go, I think this is the order of Tosos Rosh, is Ziyuf Eino Shchiyach. It's not common. We only tanin on for common things, not uncommon things. Okay, that's a reasonable enough principle. After all, on the one hand, if someone's not here to defend themselves for any of these various scenarios I portrayed earlier, we have to bring up the possibilities to defend the people. On the other hand, we don't have to go crazy about it. The answer is we'll bring up common tainas. Things that commonly happen we'll worry about. Things that are uncommon we won't worry about. And Ziyuf is uncommon. Piron is common. Ziyuf is uncommon. And as a matter of fact, many we've shown, including Tosos on our daf, this Tosos, like twice, says we don't do tanin on a nensu. Right? If you give me a pikadon, we don't do tanin on a nensu. Why? Because it's not shchiyah. It doesn't say that in Shas. That's what Tosos assumes. But once Tosos assumes there's no tanin on a nensu because it's not shchiyah, so you can also say there's no tanin of Ziyuf because it's not shchiyah. That's perfectly reasonable. Liad mentioned the more perhaps lumdish, a possibility, which is why would we not be tanin on mezuyah? Because mezuyah is only a derabanan taina, not a d'oraisa taina. Remember, mi d'oraisa, as it says in the Gimel Amud Aleph, in the name of Reish Lakish, Eidim Achzum Nastar, Kamishanech Gridus, and Vezin Dami. A star is assumed to be kosher, and I can't tie in a mezuyah. Me, the Araisa, you come to me with a star, I can't claim it's forged. Only me, Rabbanan, I can tie in a mezuyah. So since mezuyah is only me, Rabbanan, therefore we don't do taninan to bring up the Rabbanan tainas, only the Araisa tainas. Tainas mezuyah, takeif, modern Hebrew, it's valid. Rock me drabana. What? Ah. Isn't there a law that when you make aliyah for like 20 years, you don't have to pay income taxes on income from your business in Chutz Laretz, and you don't have to get zachar unkeva correct when you speak Hebrew? I'm pretty sure that's like a regulation someplace. Okay, so time is mezuyah. Mahani rak midrabanan ve lo taninan taina drabanan. We only taninan tainas that are d'oraisa, not tainas that are midrabanan. Here, yesh lodon harbe exactly what this Tosos means, and we don't have time to go into it now. What is it? What if you say the first we're not taninan things that aren't shchiyach? I understand. Practically, we worry about common things, and we'll say lo shchiyach lo goes rabanan. And also, in the Rasofe, there's a lot of uncommon things. Why are we only tying the Doraisa tying the? We're trying to defend the guy. Why are we only defending with Doraisa tainas, not Darabanan tainas? So you could say it's one of these, like, you know, make a takana and takana. We do it sometimes, Dini Mamanos. You know, since it's only Darabanan anyway, and Taninan is only Darabanan, which itself, Yesh Ladun, therefore we don't want to do a double Darabanan. Or you could say it's something more lumdish, which is, again, not Rasugi now, but a Chakira to remember. What is most tainas? How does a taina work? Okay, someone will ask me, you know, maybe when it comes to tainas that are mechayiv shvuah, it's a little different. But let's say tainas that win money. Why does a taina work? A taina works because you are believed to make this taina, right? there are certain tainas that I say these tainas, I'm believed. I may not have believed 100%, but I'm at least believe that it might be true, and therefore you have no case. That's how do most tainas work? Most tainas work by being machria, the facts of the case. I make this taina, and therefore I claim the facts of the case are such and such. My claim has a certain weight, and therefore change what he thinks about the facts of the case. Meaning the taina is a taina's birur. The taina is mevarer. Obviously, don't misunderstand me. I mean, just because I make a taina, I'm the baal dover, right? I'm puzzle ages. That they will leave whatever I said, but it has a certain koach, right? The question is, what's the nature of tainas mezuyif? Tainas mezuyif is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, we're sure that it's not forged. We don't suspect that it's forged. What's the nature of the tekanah midrabbanan? Is it that midrabbanan? Is it that midrabbanan? They are metakin that, no, we're actually masopek whether it's forged. Midrabbanan, they changed what we think about the facts and says, that was not a convincing taina. Midaraisa, midrabbanan, it's a convincing taina. Midrabbanan will think that maybe it was forged. Right? So they made it a regular taina that adds to the bureau of the case. Or you could see it in a different way. No. Even midrabbanan, we don't think it's forged. They just gave you a special zchus to demand kiyum. It's not that you've now convinced us it might be forged and then you need a counter evidence of kiyum, like a normal taina. No. You just have a special right. Saying, I'm demanding kiyum. I'm not actually convincing you it's forged. But I can demand kiyum. This is not kind of called kiyum. When I press this button, you have to give me tain. So that's an interesting hakira. What's the nature of this drabbanan? I think it could be that if you say the nature of the drabbanan is that it's a regular taina, that's mevarer the case, then we shouldn't have taninan about it. Who cares if drabbanan is the raisa? It's part of the bureau of the case. We're trying to clarify the case. But if you said, and maybe this is what Tosis means, I don't know if there's a liyah headline. But that it's not a regular taina. No, it's only drabbanan, meaning, add some lungdas. It's only drabbanan, meaning it's not really a convincing taina. It's just a zechus to demand kiyum. Okay, then that's not a regular taina. That's not a regular taina. That's a special zechus. That special zechus is only if the guy says it, he gets the zechus. If he doesn't say, he doesn't get the zechus. We're not gonna press buttons and get zechuyos for him. We're only gonna try to clarify the facts on his behalf. Right? We're just gonna try to clarify the facts since he can't clarify. But if it's not about the facts, it's just a special separate zechus having nothing to do with normal tainas, then I understand why there would be no taninan. This hakira, again, it's not really our subject, right? I'm not even officially discussing this. Someone will come over and ask me, eight kashas, why I didn't say this and this and this about? Because that's I'm just like sort of throwing in a tangent, but yesh lodinah, yesh lachkor, when it comes to tainas mezuyaf, which only works midrabanan, is it a real taina that makes Bezdin suspect mezuyaf? Now Bezdin thinks 50-50 it might be mezuyah, Motzrin Olvaraya, it's a suffix mezuyah. Or no? No, still, we still think that it's not mezuyah. But he has a zechus to demand kiyum shtaros. And I suggested that perhaps it's not mochra. You could view Tosfos just a technical thing like, oh, we don't make taninan and drabbanans, especially if taninan itself is drabbanan, which is not so clear. There's darshan or pasuk. But you could say that perhaps an afkamina this chakira might be, although it might depend on other things, that or if it's a real taina, then we would do taninan. Or at least if we didn't, it would be because it's not shchiach, right? But if it's just a zechus and not a real taina, we wouldn't do taina. Taina is for real tainas that clarify the facts. Not for some rights you have to demand certain things. So could that would depend on or not because eino shchiach, right? Okay, another interesting nafkamina might be, and this is also not our sugya now, is the famous machlokas tanaim and etc., about what's called Mod B'Shar Shukasvo Tzarech L'Kaimo, which Tosos mentions a gazillion times. In this long Tosos, what's that machlokes? He mentions the machlokes Amoraim,
It's also achlok tfanoim. Can you say migu of mezuyif? Let's say you bring me a shtar that Binyamin brings a shtar that I owe 1 million shekel. And I say, taka, it's true. It's a true shtar. I really did it. I was there. They even signed it. But I paid you back. So am I nema? Normally, I can't just say I paid you back. They'll say, if you paid me back, then you would have ripped up the shtar. But can I tainas piro'on, parua, migo mezuyif? I could have said it's mezuyif, and then I would have won, because maybe you can't find Aiden to authenticate the signatures. Or I would have won until you find Aiden. So can I believe that I paid back, parua, migo of mezuyif? Someone went in, seems like a normal migo. Most of the Rishonim assumes, yeah, why not? And then everyone tries to figure out, well, why is there a shita that you're not believed to say piro'on migo of mezuyif? So many of the Rishonim apply, hint at, say that, because mezuyif is only drabbanan, you can't say migo based on it. So again, what does that mean? So yesh, London on all of this. But it could be that it depends on this chakira. If, I know it's bidrabbanan, but if it's a normal tainu drabbanan, I should have amigo. I could have made that tainu, I'm making this tainu. Who cares if that tainu was drabbanan daraisa? But if it's not a normal tainu, it's a special separate zechus, a separate track, a special takana, having nothing to do with the normal tainu of clarifying the case. It's not that I would have actually won the case and proven that I'm right with a tainu mezuyif. I just would have said, I have a demand for kiyum shoresh. If you don't meet that demand, then you have a problem. But it's not a real tainu that would have won me the case. It wouldn't have convinced you that I was right. It's not a real taina. It's just a zuchus. Then I say, you can't say amigo. You can say amigo from a real taina. You can't say amigo from just a zuchus. Yeah, someone raised their hand and say, that depends on Rochon's not your amigo. I know, but we're not discussing that. But maybe you could say, the other nafkamina could be, that there's no migo de mezuyif. You can't say amigo that I could have said mezuyif. Because that was not a real taina that would have won the case. That's just like I would have taken the secret passage. I would have just had a takana that makes a demand for you, and therefore I would have been okay. But I wouldn't really have convinced anyone that I was right. But if you, then migo de mezuyif. What I mean is migo de hadatan mezuyif. Obviously. Migo, you could have said mezuyif. If it's a real taina, I could say migo, I would have made that taina. If it's just a chos, maybe I couldn't have said that.
If you want to say it's just as a chos, but ultimately, if you don't meet that like requirement, you're going to end up having a problem that it is a real taina.
Okay, fair enough. And that's going to depend on exactly how migo works, etc. So that's why, you know, why did I waste my time saying I'm not really discussing this? For that, not because I don't have answer to your question, but because that would take a whole 2 hours. So we're going to leave that for now. Sure.
Is it possible that another factor is what exactly is the role of Beis Din when being towing something for the pedestrian?
Correct.
For example, like you summon, like if they're helping the claiming for them.
Correct. Yeah.
Whether or not they're
correct. Meaning you're saying, isn't that they're really in loco avim shel yisomim or something, or is it just that they're trying to be mevarid the emes? Yesh leishlokim that also. There's not a lot of makoros about that. But maybe we'll leave this for now. You could say that it's just technical, that, you know, we don't make a drabbanan on drabbanan if you assume the concept of tanina is drabbanan, which itself is controversial. Or you could say, no, it's alpi hakira over there. What this other possibility means. In any case, this is what our Tosos doesn't say, but apparently what all the other versions of Tosos and Gittin said. That's the way they're showing to quote Tosos on Gittin. It has nothing to do with get. It has nothing to do with get. It's just a general rule that there are certain tainas you're tying on people's behalf, certain tainas you don't. And mezuyah, if you don't tie on people's behalf, not in Ishos, not in Mamonos, not anywhere across the board. Okay.
I saw a svar that you don't say tanina because it's only bari, it's only shema, whereas the as the person himself, the Baldover himself, could have tied bari.
Okay. That is also an interesting issue. There's a whole machlokes, at the very least, machlokes are shown in the Ksos by the time he gets through with it. Whether when Bezin does Taninan, does that consider a Tainus Bori or a Tainus Shema? If Bezin Taninan is only like a Tainus Shema, and Mezuyaf requires a Tainus Bori,
in order for this tainan to work. Obviously, you have to say all the other tainanans don't require tainan sbari. But you're right, I didn't...
It's mentioned, I don't remember.
Oh, it is? In the Rishonim?
Somewhere on the sheets.
Anyone remember who mentioned that?
A different course, yeah. Like a Rashba is under this, Tosos and Subas.
What does he say?
I don't know.
Okay, the same. Anyway, Yesh Lomar, right? Maybe you could say that, and here, you know, there's a whole ketos to that one, but you could say that Taninan Eino Ella Painash Shema. After all, Bezdin can't do Taninan Bavada. If you Rishonim say it's considered a Tainas Bari, I would say Vadi Bari. You know, that's the din of Taninan is that they're Taina as a Bari. But you could say that Taninan is only Shema. Bezdin can't say this is what happened. No, they have no right to say this is what happened. Maybe this happened. And then you add to that, Tainas Mezuyif only works if it's a Tainas Bari. Meaning, I can't say, interesting case, it's a weird case. Binyamin comes to the Shtar, they own a million shekel, and I say, maybe it's forged. I say, I don't really remember, maybe it's forged. Would that be valid if, or not? Would he have to go be the kind of the Shtar or not? So, you could say, no, Tainin only works if it's a Tainas Bari. According to either side of the Chakira, according to one side of the Chakira for sure, if it's a chus, maybe only it's a chus if you stand up and say, I'm 100% sure. Even as a birur, you could say, no, it's only a counter birur to the general chazaka if you say for sure. The tainas mezuyaf lo mehani ella inkein ta'an tainas bari. Okay,
isn't that the yeshivish chakira whether the taina just with the mevatel of the shtar altogether, or they left it as a suffix after the taina?
Maybe, yeah.
I think we saw the same thing that Aaron said by Tanos Nensu.
Is it
the same? Besen doesn't know.
Correct, meaning the Tosos says they don't taina Nensu because it's not shriach. Others say they don't tie in Nensu because Nensu only works if you're tying up a Bari, because otherwise it's a new day in Praticha. Okay, great. Let's move on now. What are all the other answers that Rishonim say? The other, answers that Rishonim say that there's a difference between Mamonos and Get. Of course, by Mamonos we would tie in a Mezuyef. And therefore, if you weren't around, you require Kiyum Shtaris. But by Get, we don't. What's the difference in Mamonos and Get? And there are perhaps three or four basic Mahalchim. What's the difference between Mamonos and Get? So here we're going to say Chiluk Bein Mamonos Legitin. What's Tosas Chiluk? Tosas Chiluk is very practical, right? It's not Lundeshul, it's very practical, but important. What's Tosas Chiluk? Why do we differentiate between Get and Mamonos? Bishumi Guna. Very posh. Bishumi Guna. By the way, Bishumi Guna. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. By Mamonos, if you get your money, you don't get your money. It's not the end of the world. It's only money. Important thing for us all to remember. But by Ishos, on the one hand, you'd want to do Tanina and be careful, but the poor woman's going to be an Aguna. Now, is she gone? All right, at least there's some chashash egon, and therefore they were so worried about the chashash egon that they're not taninan here. Okay, one can then sit with Tosos and say, practically, well, if you had been talking this way or talking this way, what would have been better if this happened, if that's happened, and Chesh been out like a chess game, all the possible moves. But let's take Tosos' word for it. That at the very least, the way Tosos viewed the situation, you know, it was better in preventing egon if you would not require Kiyum Shtaris and not do the Taninan. And Mishumiguna, they changed a lot of halachos. Mishumiguna Hihilu, that's what Tosos says. Mishumiguna Hihilu. Okay, I don't think we should be able to have too many kashas on that. That's Tosos. Okay, what is another possibility, if you'll allow me to go a little bit out of order? Tosos Rosh gives a second answer, and the Ramban gives a second answer, and the Ran gives a second answer. What is the second answer of the Tosos Rosh and the Ramban and the Ran? What's the difference between Get and Mammon? That's the first answer. All right, it's not.
I'm not claiming it's important to remember which is the first second. Okay, that's the rush starts by saying. We're not, if there's a special reason to think it's not forged by Ishus. Why? Basically because they say the idea of kilkel. Meaning, what's the yesod? The yesod is in money. After all, it's just money. Meaning, what if you take money incorrectly? That's not the end of the world. I mean, chas v'shalom, we shouldn't take that lightly in our personal lives. But it's not the end of the world. You give it back. What happens if you get caught taking money incorrectly? You give it back. Not so simple. You ruin your reputation. You have trouble in business, etc. You know, but... You know, sach hakol, your life doesn't collapse like a house of cards, right? You can still live. However, what happens in Ishus if a woman remarries without a kosher get? Then it's the end of the world. Bein b'dei shamayim, right? Nolam hava. It's a big, big, big avera, or b'dei shamayim. And bein b'dei adam, right? There's a tremendous kilko, right? The Gemara says, Nivamos, here... They quote the line from Vamos, we talk Shomer, Homer, Shech, Miro, Leva, Sofa, Kilo, Leva, Tulasa. They take this idea, where do they borrow this idea from? From Yevamos. What does it say in the end of Yevamos? That if a woman's husband died, how much aid does she need to remarry? One aid. Oh, what happens to aid him? No, they're a makel here. Why were they makel here? After all, maybe the one aid is lying? No, because it shall be so messed up if it's not true. Normally, we don't trust one aid. But in this case, for sure the one aid is telling the truth. How do we know? We don't know yet. The one aide comes and says, your husband's dead. We don't know if he's telling the truth. But the woman says, oh, I believe you and remarries. Oh, the woman's not stupid. Why would she remarry? What if her husband's really alive and he's going to show up one day? And then what'll happen? She won't just have to give money back. Then there's like 13 penalties on her in the Mishnah. Then her life is over. Right? Her husband comes back. She loses both husbands. She loses all her money. She loses her kids are mamzerim, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, it's beyond words how terrible it would be if she was wrong. And therefore, if she trusted the aid, it must be true because she would have double-checked and triple-checked better than any Bezdin because so much is at stake. So that's the thing here. If, what do we suspect? That she had a henchman forge the get and deliver it to her and now she's getting married with a forged get? What in Yeshalav Orin Yishayim B'chosmav? She knows the husband might show up, right? The husband's alive. It's a question of getting, right? The husband eventually going to show up. Okay, maybe he's like has good reasons to be in another part of Israel. She's in Beersheba. The husband has good reasons to be in Akko. Okay, Akko to Beersheba, eventually, even before cars. Eventually he's going to show up in Beersheba. And he's going to say, what are you doing with another man? She'll say, here's my get. He's going to hire her and say, I never wrote that get. And she's not going to be able to Mekai Mechosma because it's a forged get. And she will be in the biggest trouble imaginable. And therefore, we have evidence that it's not forged. So why don't we do Tanina Mezuyev? Because we're only to Tanina Mezuyev if there's no proof that it's not Mezuyev. Here there's proof that it's not Mezuyev, because we told Chomer, Shekhmar, to Lebesofa, Ikilo, Lebetz, Kilasa. And it's good psychological proof. What did the Tosus Rush add? Tosus Rush adds, hold on, that proves that she wouldn't forge it. What if the husband purposely put forged signatures to make a trick and fool her? Right, the husband really sent her a letter that he was writing her again, so she's going to go ahead. And what if he purposely forged signatures so that he could then come a year later and fool her and mess her up and do all these terrible things to her because he hates her so much? The answer is, Eino chash lekal kol abidei shamayim, or just because he wants her to burn in hell, right? Eino chash lekal kol abidei shamayim, no, we're not choshe, even though there are strange people out there, we're not choshe lekal kol abidei shamayim, okay? Bidei Adam, we'll get to. We're not Choshi's Makalka Bidei Shemayim, so we're not Choshi, the husband will purposely fool her and give her a puzzle get, because that's a weird thing for someone to do. You'll tell me you once heard of one prize. There's 8 billion people in the world. Someone once did everything, but it's not common enough to worry about. And we're not Choshi that he'll forge it. They're certainly not Choshi that a third party will forge it. Like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, some random guy's not going to forge it, so the husband's not going to forge it. A random guy's obviously not going to forge it. The main chash is she will have someone forge it on her behalf. We're not choshes because of this, so therefore there's evidence that it, and if there's evidence, there's evidence. Also seems straightforward.
Why is it out of the question to assume that a third party would want to?
Because also in a chashid, why would someone do such a weird thing?
That's how I want to marry this woman, but she's an issue right now.
That's interesting. a guy wants to, that, I never thought of that. What if a guy wants to marry her and he does this whole thing with, you know, and you know, what's going to happen to him in the end? Nothing so terrible is going to happen to him in the end. He'll just have to give it back. You know, when the husband comes tomorrow, he'll give her back. I mean, not that, but he'll give her back. That's interesting. I'm not sure. That's an interesting, you know. Okay, I guess I'm just not cynical enough. That is a fascinating question. I don't know. Sorry, Ian. Okay, but let's write this. Tosos Rush, Ramban, Ran, Vechule say that basically there's proof that it's not Mezuyah. That's why we're not Tanina. Only by get, not by Momenos. By Momenos, right? What do they call it? Shitat Matzliach? By Momenos, try to steal whatever you can. Worst comes to worst, you'll give it back. What's going to happen to you? You'll ruin your reputation. Okay, not everyone has a reputation to start with. But, give me a second. Why? Mitoch Chomer Shech Marta Aleha Besofa, etc. Because it would be so bad, if she was caught, she wouldn't even do it. Yeah, not that it's impossible, but then it's so unlikely.
But in this case, wouldn't that be a clear case of onus? There wouldn't be a problem?
That depends on the Mishnah in Yevamos, so it could very well be that in the Mishnah in Yevamos, Taka, she isn't onus, but they Davka made a lot of chumras on her to make her double check and triple check, and eat more than the Doraisa. So it could be here also. Or at the very least, some bad things would happen. Okay, yeah, work it out. Whether Doraisa or Rabbanon, work it out. Okay, but I think the most interesting answer here is the first answer of all the Rishonei Sfarad, I think the Ramban and the Ritva, I don't know how to write this in the Makoros sheet, right? What's published in the regular sets of Chedusha Ritva and the Moseder of Cook, they call Chedusha Rabbeinu Kreskes. And I think the scholars argue whether it was written by the Ritva or written by Rabbeinu Kreskes, part of the problem being that the Ritva and Rabbeinu Kreskes were traveled in the same circles. Right, if you didn't know if something was written by the Ritva or the Shagas Aryeh, it would be easy enough to figure out. But two people who lived in the same place in the same time and learned the same yeshivas, it's a little tricky, and everyone has evidence the Khan of the Khan. So I'm not sure how much it matters to me philosophically whether it's written by the Ritva or by Ravina Kreskes. But I have to figure out what to write on the Makoro sheets, unless I want to write Ritva / Ravina Kreskes every time. Okay. Everyone, raise your hand if you use the Musada Rav Kook yellow Ritva with footnotes. Raise your hand if you use a Kovetz Mefarshim or Bar Ilan for the Ritva. I think the majority, that's majority for the Ritva. Okay, so I'm going to write in the Makor sheets the Ritva. When I write the Ritva, that means what's called Ravina Kreskes and Musada Rav Kook. Done. Okay, so the Ramban. What?
What are you going to do if you really want the Ritva?
Well, first of all, that's also not really the Ritva. Keep in mind, Mosada Rav Kook Tainas, every scholar, the editor of this volume, Tainas, neither of them are the Ritva. The first is Chedusha Miksav Yad, otherwise he would have called it Ritva, meaning it's a Ksav Yad which some people think is the Ritva and he thinks isn't. And Rabbeinu Kreskes is something some people think is the Ritva and he thinks is Rabbeinu Kreskes. So he basically says, I'm giving you two books here. Number one, some people think this is the Ritva and I think it's not and I don't know who it is. Number two, some people think it's the Ritva and I think it's not and I say it's Rabbeinu Kreskes. He holds neither of them are the Ritva. Otherwise, he would have written Chedusha Ritva, not Chedusha Miksav Yad. Chedusha Miksav Yad means I don't know who wrote it. Okay, so when I mean Chedusha Miksav Yad, I'll write Chedusha Miksav Yad or Miyuchas the Ritva. And when I mean Rabbeinu Kreskes, I'll write the Ritva. Fair. Okay, what if the Ramban, etc., right? Ubeit Midrashot, we can say. The Ramban and all his Talmidim all give this answer. What do they say? Say, what's the difference in Ishus and Mamonos? Why is Gittin different? Why don't we say Tanin and Gittin? Because? Because Ein Ha'isha Mamono Shel Baal. The woman is not the Mamon of the husband. The woman is not the Mamon of the husband. Okay. What do we mean by Ein Ha'isha Mamono Shel Baal? I mean, he adds a few other words also, right? Let me give you the Lashon of the Ramban. Where's the Ramban? Here he is. Very important Ramban. Says the Ramban. She'en isha zo mamuno shopa'al. She's not owned by the husband. Ella b'shus atzmi nasei. She's in her own. She's in her own authority to remarry. And we don't taninan because, like, if he doesn't complain, why should we complain? And then he says, "V'ot mitoch chomer shechmakel of a sofa." We already put the ode on the board, right? What's this verse? She's not mamona shabal. It's her business to get remarried, and we don't. Why should we get involved? So, what does he mean by that? So, you could take this in one of two directions, and that's why I put the Ritva Rabbeinu Kreskel in the course sheet, because he explicitly splits this into two different answers. And I have to think the Ramban sounds more like one of them, but, you know, you can tell me, can I prove which of the, when the Rabbeinu Kreskel says there's two answers, which of these two do the Ramban mean? I can't prove, I can just think. But how does Rabbeinu Kreskel say it, or the Ritva say it? He says, if anyone wants to bring me an absolute proof whether it's Ritva or Rabbeinu Kreskel, then we can resolve this whole thing. But, you know, it's hard to have absolute proofs in these things. What does he say here? He says, give me a second. The isha lo mamona shel balhu. The od the analo of dina b'hachi maisa hihi shaholechas v'niseis v'analona arulel. Right, he says two things. The va'od. Right. So what is this? I think the Ramban means the first one. But if you want to tell me he means the second, I'm not going to argue. Right. So what is they say? So let's split this up. And then we'll call this the Ritva Teiritz Rishon is Ein Ha'isha Mamono Shel Baal. And the second one is, which again, if you want to say that's what Ramban meant, you can. Meaning, you could, but I think the Lashon, he's focusing on the Mamon, is, says the Ritva, in his second answer, he says that Bezdin ain osin maisa elarak menichin osa lehinase. Right, Bezdin doesn't do anything. So I think that this last answer, the second answer of the Ritva, is that, what does he mean? He means, when I come to Sumamanos, Bezdin has to take your money and give it to me. Bezdin has to confiscate the money and give it to me. When Bezin does a maisa, they do taninan. When Bezin says, we have to do something, we can't do something until we check and double check and make sure that everyone's rights are protected and everyone's opinion is accounted for, etc. That makes sense. If I'm not here and Bezin's doing something to me actively, they should worry about my concerns. But when it comes to the woman bringing her get, Bezin doesn't have to do anything. She goes and remarries on her own. It's not like I'm bringing a star that I get her. No such thing. You know, she's just saying, I'm on my own now. She's going to get remarried on her own. Bezin doesn't have to do anything. Obviously, if they knew she was doing an Aveira, they would have to stop her because Bezin has to and etc. and a Frushim Esura. But Bezin's being passive, not active. When Bezin's passive, there's no Taninan. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You know, Bezin has to worry about they shouldn't do something wrong. But if they're not doing anything, let nature run its course. Okay, here, what does he mean by this? The first answer, the woman's not the mammon of the Baal, so what? So why is Bezdin not Tanina, just not the mammon of the Baal? It's interesting, there's a Shut Rivash, Semen Chinpehe, who says, the woman's not, who cares? Meaning, why do we care about Dini Mammonos? Because to be motzi from Cheska's mammon, you have to be very careful. He says, you know what Cheska's Isser Isha says? You also have to be very careful. Either way, we motzi from a Chazaka, Cheska's mammon or Cheska's Isser, so why are we careless just because she's not mammon? So what's the obvious answer? What does the Ramban mean? What's the svar? So she's not the moment of the Baal. So what? So why don't we do Taninan?
We're not towing for anyone in particular.
Exactly, because we're only towing for a Baalim. Taninan is not. What is Taninan? Taninan doesn't mean we think of all possibilities just for the sake of possibilities. Taninan means we protect people who are losing out. We only do Taninan once a Baal is losing something that they own. Over here, the husband doesn't own the wife. Now, I understand emotionally, he will be losing a lot in this relationship, et cetera, but we don't do taninan for that, right? If I knock down a movie theater and you're going to lose your whole nostalgic childhood, there's no taninan on your behalf because you don't own anything. right? The Baal, there's no other party here. In Dini Mamash, there are two parties, me versus you. So if you're not here, we're telling you your behalf. Oh, wait, there aren't two parties. There's her. Is she Asur? Is she Asurli Nasi or Materisli Nasi? The husband's not a party. I understand. He's not coincidence. I understand it has a deep effect on him existentially. But it's not a bailus here. And I think that's what it means. Meaning, the husband is not a party. Right? And therefore, there's no taina. There's no one to taina for. You don't taina on someone who's going to be emotionally affected. You taina on someone who's losing his possessions. The wife is not a possession of the husband. That's basically what the husband is, not a party. We are not, I know we can use this lashon sometimes, we are not taking away property of the Baal. You'll tell me he's called a Baal. Okay, it's very nice that he's called a Baal. Okay, you know what? Maybe b'di'evad he's called a Baal. Maybe b'yom ahu al tikri li'od Baal li tikri li'ishi. Who knows? Yeah, I know he's called a Baal, but that doesn't mean, just because he's called something, doesn't mean that it's a real halachic status. We're not thinking of just paskening the iser v'heter of the isha. Right, we are doing something. It's not the second answer. Maybe we are doing something. Taka, we're paskening that she's not b'cheskes iser anymore, she's b'cheskes heter. But that's paskening her halachic status. It's not taking anything from him. It's not her versus him. There aren't two tzadim. And therefore, there aren't two tzadim. There's no taninan.
You're taking the ksuba away from
him. I didn't want to get into that until I got to daf tes, but many of the Rishonim imply, and depends how you read them. We spent a lot of time yesterday with some of the fellows. It could very well be that you would not take the ksuba away in this case, because that's taka money. I think many of the Rishonim would hold. Taki wouldn't collect the ksuba in this case, because that's taking away his money. But you would let her remarry. She'll remarry if she's poor without a ksuba. Okay, that's her problem.
Why don't you say tanina?
You would say tanina for the ksuba. If she wants to collect the ksuba, you'd say tanina in the forge, get it, and don't collect the ksuba. But if she doesn't want to... Yeah, we would say tanina for the ksuba. I think, according to most you've shown, we would say tanina for a ksuba. But if she's not coming to collect the ksuba, she's just coming to remarry. She's not talking about money here. Say, the money we'll worry about another time. My father's rich. I don't need the money.
According to this parent, even the Baal has a problem being joined into you. I mean, according to number four.
According to what I said. So why, even if the Baal's here, why does he have the right to say Mezuyah if he's not really a party to this? Okay. We'll get to that. But it could be because even though he's not a party, he's the author of the shtar, and the author of the shtar has certain has certain rights. We'll get to it.
I mean, don't have that problem.
Correct, absolutely.
Baal's still losing Maisi Adeha. He still has...
What about the fact he's losing Maisi Adeha Vichule? So, it could very well be, maybe that's the Rashi hints out, that since that is only I would say two things. Either, simple shot is, maybe since that's only an indirect effect, which... You know, we're not sure if it would have happened, etc. After all, he has to give Mazonos, getting Maisi Adeha, etc. Maybe that's not enough for Taninan. This Suffolk indirect effect is not enough for Taninan. Or you could go so far as to say, who says he's losing the Maisi Adeha? When he shows up, he can demand the Maisi Adeha, and they'll work it out. Meaning, she's getting remarried now, that's a fact. You know, okay.
Maaseh Adai is a takanos to Rabbanan. They made the takana. They were mafkir that.
Right, okay. It could also be that maybe the takana doesn't apply in all cases. Yes, yeah.
Maaseh Adai is we're not being mafkir anything. It's just like a future...
Correct. And maybe that's what I meant to say more. We're not actually taking anything. It's just like a Menias Revach. Right, maybe for Menias Revach, you don't say tanina. Yeah, that's what I really meant to say. Thank you. For Menias Revach, maybe we wouldn't say tanina.
I mean, even with any of the Lomonos asks, you still have to ask the question of how much is actually connected to the original view in the first place. Outgrowth of the original one, and it's not
correct. It's Menias Revach and indirect. You put those together, we can come up with an answer. Okay. Effie, can I ask you to take a picture of the board, please? Okay. So now, what we have here is something very fascinating. Now I'm ready to finish our discussion of this Tosos.
you know, what is Gushim Tosos? Hopefully everyone got down the Shaka Vitaria on their own. And at the end of the Tosos, there's a very, very important, very fascinating line about Nephila, which we're going to have to come back to. but let's talk more broadly, because of course this brought up a very fascinating question of, is the Isha Mamono Shabal, or is she not Mamono Shabal? Tosfos, it's an argument from silence, but I'm going to claim it's not coincidence. Tosfos maybe viewed the Isha as Mamono Shabal. He equated the Isha with Dini Mamonos, or if there's a difference, only Shabigun, but not on any lumdish conceptual level. While the Ramban very forcefully disassociated Isha's from Nima, says she's not Mamono Shabal. Could it be that there's a fundamental machlokas here between Tosos and the Ramban, whether the Isha is Mamono Shabal or whether she's not Mamono Shabal? Right? The, you know, going back to the, you know, Pasuk in Hosea, right? Should you call a husband a Baal or an Ish? Right? The wife is called the Isha. Not woman. The wife is also called the Isha. Right? Is the woman's husband Baali? Or is the woman's husband Ishi? Right? Now, we know it's called the Baal all over Shas, but on a deeper conceptual level. Maybe that's Machlokes Tosos and the Ramban here. Is she Mamona Shabal or is she not Mamona Shabal? And, excuse me, what I want to claim is that that's not just a maybe far out possibility, that I really think that's a consistent shita of Tosos and the Ramban, at the very least, that they argue here about whether the Isha is or isn't Mamona Shabal. Okay, one thing I forgot to relate to, the Ramban. The Ramban, the Kohar Sheet, he's really talking about a different case. He's talking a case the woman brings her own get, not a Shliach, not covering this mission at all. Then he says, it's like the case of a Shliach who brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, where we don't require Kiyum. Why not? He says, after all, Dinim Mamonos we would. He's clearly not, like, going in that first direction. He's clearly going in this direction, the Dinim Mamonos again. He says, Ishus is not like Mamonos. He differentiates between Ishus and Mamonos. Why does he differentiate between Ishus and Mamonos? And he says, because after all, in Ishus, once you're going to start suspecting things, what if it's this psalm, what if it's that psalm, you go to the second paragraph, the 100 psalm. He says, obviously, we don't worry about these things in Ishus. Okay, you have to figure out exactly what he means. Like, why don't we worry about things in Ishus, and do we worry about things in Mamonos? And the truth is, one thing is very clear, is that the Rambam makes a chiluk between Mamonos and Gittin. I mean, that's what he says. Ein dina Ishus, dina Mamonos, or whatever exactly his phrase is. Exactly what the difference is. Is the difference between Guna? Doesn't sound like the difference is Bishomiguna. And then the Achronim go to town so many different pshatim as to exactly what the Rabbah meant. Is the difference between Chomer Shech Martel Leva Sofa? It doesn't really sound like that. He says, and what if it was Nithma Yom Nethma Laila? What if it was Mechubar? What if it was this? What was that? You know, those are all things that the woman can't double check. Is it because Bezdin's not doing a Maisa? Possible. Or is it because the Isha is not Mamona Shabal? I happen to think that the, I mean, whatever you can look at, I put a few achronim, there's more achronim as well. The, I don't want to mix up the Chsam, 1 second, let me make sure I'm quoting the same. Yeah, the Chsam Sofer says the Rambam meant like the Ramban, without getting too into it. No, I think it actually makes sense that the Rambam would be like what we call Pshat 4. Because what's he saying? He's saying that in get, in the davar sof, maybe you'd be choshesh. Where's my Rambam? What does the Rambam say? If you're going to be choshesh in getin, and I'll tell you my diuk, you can like my diuk, you cannot like my diuk. You know, it's, I can live either way. He says, in getin, he says that we're going to be choshesh from a zoyef. Maybe even if the husband gave it to the wife in front of our eyes, we should be choshesh using vatal at first, or maybe we should be choshesh to edim our puzzle, or maybe it was written shalol l'shma, etc. You know, what's he? It's interesting what he's saying. What he's saying is that if you're going to be choshesh, then even if the Baal and the Isha have no difference between them, and if they're both happy to get divorced, maybe we should be choshesh for some far out psol, if you're going to be choshesh. So I think it's actually interesting. Like, what's he trying to say there? Maybe what he's trying to say is that in Dini Mamonos, it's a matter of one person versus another person. Okay, then be choshesh anytime one person's ripping off the other person. But in Get, it's not a matter of one person versus another person. He's not a Bailim. And again, he's not a Bailim. If he's not a Bailim, what are you worried about? You're worried about Achshash Isser, you're a Shemaya, maybe someone will do an Avera? Well, if you're worried about someone doing an Avera, then even if the husband and wife both admit they're happy to divorce, you should worry about every soul of Avera. It's just funny, like, I would have said to the Rambam, what's your inlet of herself? We're only Choshesh, one person ripping off the other. If they're both in front of us and happy to divorce, then we're not Choshesh, because no one's ripping anyone off. So, what's the Rambam say? The inlet of herself, you're going to be Choshesh for random psulim. No, we're only Choshesh for someone hurting someone else. But if they're both happy to get divorced, why are we Choshesh? So I think what the Rambam might mean, I'm reading a lot in, is that, no, if there is no Baal, if you would be choshes and get, you'd be choshes because of your shamayim of the Avera, not because of the people. You'd be choshes ben on lamakom, not ben on lachaviru. If you're going to be choshes ben on lamakom, then even if they both say we're happy to be divorced, you should be choshes for everything in the world. And that's ridiculous. So I think you can make a deal in the Rambam. Why is he all of a sudden bringing in, moving from a chashash ben on lachaviru to a chashash ben on lamakom? Maybe he's like the Rambam. He's saying, there is no ben on lachaviru here. She's not his mama. You want to say I'll be choshesh and ishas for abderos ben lamakom? If so, then ain't the herself. Because even if they're both smiling and saying, please divorce us, you could always be choshesh whenever you're ben lamakom. That's my diuk in the Rambam. You could like it, you could not like it. Liat.
Sort of similar, focusing on the same part of the Rambam. Within the discussion within the Afrodish, why the Mishnah doesn't require the five minutes of the minutes, not for a shirk for Kabbalah. The Chasam Sofer and some Afrodish look at the same thing. Once the gag goes to Isha's hand, immediately she's divorced. Maybe Rambam sort of similarly saying, if we're going to be choshesh, then we won't be able to have a situation where the Baal just gives an isha again and it automatically happens. Like, we know, you've got, like, fundamental
condition. Okay. That's fair. Yes.
I thought the Rambam was more one of those in the camps of saying that there's both a kini mamo and kini neser side in ishas.
Ain ha'isha mamono shel Baal?
No, I'm saying in general, but, like, there's a Rambam.
Oh, I couldn't think so, but we'll talk about it. Okay, let's briefly start talking about this. Sorry, could you take the board again? So I added to it. is the Isha Mamono Shel Baal or is she not? What does the Mishnah say at the beginning of Kedusha? Ha'isha Niknes. It actually never says Ishkona, Ha'isha Makadish. Second one. Ha'isha Niknes. Right, and here's the question, right? Is it Ha'isha Niknes? And one can go on and say, what's in the rest of the. Anyone get to the rest of the first paragraph of Kedusha? It's not Yeshivish, but. Behemagasa nicknays, and Behemadaka nicknays, and Karka nicknays. All right, so, Seder, Losachmon Shoriach, Losachmon Ashes Riach. Okay, it's one of my possessions. Or is it Ha'ish Makadesh? What does Makadesh mean, of course? Makadesh means there's a certain Kedusha and Isra status, right? If I'm Makadesh something, that's very much not my vitals. Right? That's the opposite of my vitals. Is it Isha? And the Gemara in the beginning there talks about, didn't we learn Kedushin once together? Right, so this is Chazara, Maseches Kedushin, for those of us who are here, for those who have learned it elsewhere, I'm sure you learned the same thing. The Gemara says there's a Lashon D'oraisa and a Lashon D'rabbanan, right? Okay, what's really the Mahut of Kedushin? Is it a Kinyan and Mamono Shel Baal, or is it a Kedusha and an Isser status, right? Hariyat Mekudeshes Li, you know, Ha'isha nicknames, but Ariat Mekudeshesli, right? So, what is the real nature of this relationship called Kedushin that we are splitting up by the get? So, Tosos, it's an argument from silence, but seems to equate her with Mamonos. Maybe Tosos thinks she is Mamonos Shel Baal. And here, then, Tosos would work well with Shitasam. In the beginning of Ksubas, the Gemara in Ksubas is discussing whose fault it is if the wedding gets delayed. Oh, if the Nisuin gets delayed, there's already Erisin. Whose fault is it if the Nisuin gets delayed? And the Gemara says that if, you know, by act of God, right, force beyond their control, the Nisuin gets delayed, the wife can say to the husband, Nistap Chasadehu, your field was washed away. It's your problem. So Tosis says, why is it his problem? It's her problem, right? In the beginning of Ksubas, Tosis says it's very strange. It should be his problem if he got sick. Then I understand that's his problem. It should be his problem if he got stuck in traffic. But why is it his problem? What's the case here? If she became a Nida, or etc., why is that his problem? So Tosas says two days. He says, V'eini yachalutun da'ad rab mazlo garam. He can't say, why is it his bad luck? Maybe it's her bad luck.
No, kevel amifka peri lo miyanshe. No. So one, he gives very technical answers. So the man is chayim peruvu and a woman isn't. Therefore, if there's something that prevents tashmish, that's the man's problem, not the woman's problem, because the man is the one who needs the tashmish for peruvu, and therefore it's his mazel because it's his mitzvah, not hers. Okay, second answer is more interesting. Oda ishi sada shel baal, v'ina baal sada shela. She is his field. He's not her field. What does that sound like? Now, from Tos himself, it sounds like, you could get out of it, he owns her, she doesn't own him. Therefore, everyone knows, like, whose mazel controls my property, right? If my car breaks down, chas v'shalom lo'olim, then is it the car's mazel or my mazel? It's my mazel, not the car's mazel. The car's part of me. So likewise, he owns his wife, she doesn't own him. Okay, one could say, maybe don't take Tosas that far until you get to the Tosas Rush there. Tosas Rush there is in Ksubas Daf Beis. The bottom of Amud Aleph or the top of Amud Beis. Tosas Rush is very explicit, okay? Whoever's listening on YU Torah, what do we call this? Trigger warning. If you don't like old-fashioned formulations, then fast forward a minute here. What does he say? He says explicitly, V'yesh lomer shem da'isha kinyan kaspo shel ha'ish kemo avdo shoro v'chamoro utluya b'mazlo. She is kinyan kaspo. Right, the Gemara darshins. Kinyan kaspo yochabo, which literally in the Pshuta Shemaker means if I buy an eved, and I'm a Kohen, he eats truma. There's also kinyan kaspo if he's my Arisa wife. He gives her kesef, right? Kesef kedushin. Isha nicknames shlosha drachim b'kesef. Right? So he says, kinyan kaspo shelo ishkmo avdo shoro v'chamoro. And again, where does he get avdo shoro v'chamoro? Mistama from the Aseres Adibros, right? Losach when eishas reyacha, sadiu avdo shoro v'chamoro. Or losasava, whatever it may be. Or wherever it may be. It doesn't matter to me where he got it from. He's very, very clear. Avdo shoro v'chamoro is the romance of Yamamono Shalbao. Not what it sounds like from this. It does rush. Kinyan kaspo ka avdo shoro v'chamoro sounds like she is Mamono Shalbao. So Tosfos seems to be the opinion she is Mamono Shalbao, and that works well. The Shitase here, that he doesn't give the Ramban's answer. Right? Tosfos works perfectly. She is Mamono Shalbao. This brings up a...
This is the
Tosfos
Rush or the
Tosfos said it, she's Sada Shalhabal in a tame formulation in Ksubas, and the Tosfos Rush said it much more explicitly. Kinyan Kaspo Ka Avdo Shoro. So they think that there really is a kinyan. Ha'isha nicknames. It really is a kinyan. However,
is there a difference between owning something monetary and owning a field? Meaning owning a field, you own the rights to the field, you don't actually own the field.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, okay, let's point that out. What does it mean that he actually owns her? So one thing is very, very clear. No matter how old-fashioned you're going to be, as it were, you're not going to... You have to say the Tosfos Rush is exaggerating. It's not mamish ka'avdo shor v'chamoro, because there's a Gemara mafurish in Kiddushin Daf Vav, which says, if Oma eved kenani dekoni legufe, etc., isha delo koni legufe, an eved, and a shor and chamor, you have kinyan aguf. You actually own the whole guf. It's very clear that it's not mamish kinyan guf. The Tosfos Rush is exaggerating a little. So it's very clear that even if you want to take the most radical formulation, ka'avdo shor v'chamoro, you have to say lav dafka tzas. Because there's a mafurish gemara in Kedushin Vav Amud Beis that says it's not a kinyan haguf. I don't know, unless some people always like to get fancy and figure out how you could say that's a different shikim, don't pass like, etc. But I don't think we need to go that far. Right? It's not a kinyan haguf, but it's still a kinyan. So what is a kinyan for if it's not a kinyan aguf? And I mean, there are many reasons to think it's not a kinyan aguf. You know, one of them is, you know, after all, everything you have a kinyan aguf in, you could sell, right? We never heard that you could, in Judaism, you could sell your wife. It seems pretty clear that it's not a kinyan aguf, but it's still a, not even on the level of karka, where, you know, I can't move the karka, but I can still sell it. What is this kinyan? If it really is Mamona Shabal, not Mamona Shabal Kinyan Aguf. Mamona Shabal, a Kinyan Peros, let's call it, right? That I don't own her whole guf, Mikal Vachol, but I do own certain rights in her. What might those rights be? So here, one thing you would think is, another reason to think it's not Kinyan Aguf, I mean, many reasons why it's not a kinyan aguf. One of them is that when you own something with kinyan aguf, you own all the rights to it, right? That's what kinyan aguf means. If I own a field, I own everything from that field. If I own an eved, I own everything from that eved, right? One thing is very clear. The husband does not own the maisi adayim of his wife, right? Which is against avdo shor v'chamoro, right? Meaning avdo shor v'chamoro, I own the maisi adayim, so I have kinyan aguf. You'll say, ah, oh, don't we have a rule that the wife's salary goes to the husband? But that rule is midrabanan, just to make him not lose so much money by paying mizonos. And it's an optional rule, right? She can say, eini mizonos v'eini os. That's an optional rule that she has to give her salary to her husband. She can choose to not give her salary to her husband and support herself. Right? So, clearly, he doesn't have a kinyan aguf and he doesn't get maisi adayim. It seems like there's no mamon aspect here, because he doesn't own any work or any monetary benefit from her. Don't tell me everything it says in Maseches Ksubos about how he gets this money and that money and the other money. Those are all only midrabanans that were made for her benefit, you know, because of, you know, the way the mumminus worked out. Mida Oraisa, he doesn't get any monetary benefit from her, which seems to imply it's not a kinyan aguf. That's not a kinyan at all. I quoted here also. But I think there are two ways to understand how it is a kinyan. One way, which I think is a minority shita, is the famous Rashba and Pnei Yoshua that I put on the, I thought I put the Rashba on the course sheet here. Yes. Says the Rashba, Mechaiva lemekim kamil shimushay de kinyan kaspohi. Very keshifcha debay le shimushay. Now again, he doesn't literally mean it's like shifcha kinyan aguf, because that would be against the Gemara. What does he say? Kinyan kaspo means that she has to mishamish him. She has to take care of him. Ah, the Gemara says he doesn't get her work, midoraisa. So what's the answer? What does the Rashba mean? The Rashba and the Chalm mean two types of work. There is work, and there is housework, right? It says the Rashba, obviously midoraisa, if she works, he doesn't get her salary. Midoraisa, if she finds a $20 bill in the street, he doesn't get it, if she, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But he doesn't have the right to maisi adeha, to her produce. He does have the right to her personal service. Right? Meaning, midoraisa, kinyan kaspo. What does kinyan kaspo mean? Again, not mamish like a shifcha. If she spins wool, he doesn't get that wool. But if he comes home, what are they doing? If he comes home and he says, who's bringing me my slippers and my pipe? Am I missing anything? My newspaper. The newspaper and the slippers and the pipe. Or in the old days, right? Who's going to bring me a bowl of warm water to wash my hands and face and feet? The answer is she has to. Why does she have to? I mean, we might say she has to because, you know, she should express her caring and affection, etc. But the Rashba says, no, she has to mida oraisa. He didn't say the word mida oraisa, but if he quotes a pasuk, I'm going to assume when someone quotes a pasuk, that's a doraisa. Reasonable. Kenyan kaspo. What was he kone? He was kone not the right to all her dini mominos, not a kenyan aguf. He was kone the right to her personal service. Right, their personal service. And that's made very explicit by the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua, now, the Pnei Yoshua says this depends. He thinks the Machlokes Rishonim, he's only saying this for some Rishonim, not for other Rishonim, but says the Pnei Yoshua. He says that L'chorin nirek sasray d'chayev safilu mid oraisa because eselo ezer kenegdo de'isha osamolach sorchei abayis. Pnei Yoshua makes this very explicit. He says, work is in the midoraisa, he has no right to. But tzorchei habayis, housework, work, no. But housework, the fact that she does the laundry and she cooks dinner and she washes the floor, you know, and I'm sure there are other things also you have to do in the house. That is midoraisa. Why? He quotes Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. He didn't mean the mucker is Ezer Kenegdo. I think he just means this reveal that Chazal thought this was obvious. That's Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo means when he marries her, she has to help him. Again, it doesn't mean he has the right to all her money or all her income. It doesn't mean if she's a lawyer, he gets her income. But it means that she has to help him. And therefore, if he needs someone to cook him dinner, then she has to cook him dinner. And some of us are old enough to...
He's the breadwinner.
Yeah, Vada, he has to be the breadwinner, and then she has to do the housework. Okay, fair enough.
It's a fair division.
Yeah, it's a fair division. Sheiruk Susumon, I'll say he has to be the breadwinner. No, she has to do the housework. Right? And some of us are old enough to remember European gentlemen who, they much needed their wife to cook them dinner, because if they came home and they didn't have a wife, then they would starve to death because they didn't know how to turn on the stove, right? Remember those fellas. We're all young enough to not quite be on that madriga, but I remember those fellas, the European cousins. Okay, so I admit this is a shittas yachid. The Pnei Yoshua and the Rashba say, kinyan mamono of malacha. Again, not kinyan a guf. I don't think people use the phrase. I don't think anyone's going to say mamash kinyan a guf. It's against the Gemara and also against too many facts. But maybe kinyan linyan, not malacha of all work, you know. The chomer el v'leim v'chol v'odim asadeh. But malachas abayis of housework, of, you know, domestic, of domestic work. So that's one possibility, that it could really, really be a kinyan. And then when we told us, mamash is mamona shel baal. Not mamona shel baal kinyan aguf, mamona shel baal kinyan peiros, that she has to, mamona shel baal le'inyan malacha. So that's one possibility. Another possibility might be, and this is a diuk, an interesting diuk from the Rambam. Another possibility might be kinyan le'inyan ishus. What does it mean, le'inyan ishus? Maybe, keep in mind, this Rashba and the Pnei Yoshua are das yachid. I know, out of all the people I put in this paragraph of the Makorah sheet, 2 out of 2, 100% of the Mefarshim said the woman is chayiv mida oraisa to do domestic work. Okay, that's because no one else ever said it, so it's really more like, you know, 1% of the Mefarshim. That's das yachid. But another possibility, which the Netziv thinks is pshat and could be midoik in the Rambam, is perhaps hakol yodim lomakala nechnas the chuppah. What ultimately is about? It's not about money at all. But it's about ishus, it's about the marital relationship. And what does the marital relationship include? Perhaps it includes conjugal relations. Maybe, what is he really mamona shel baal? She's mamona shel baal, but what is the kinyan? The kinyan is, after all, what is it, mekudeshesli? She's not going to sleep with anyone else, she's going to sleep with him. It's a kinyan, le'inyan, marital relations. Maybe that's what the kinyan is. Hakol yodim lomakala nechnas the chuppah. Why is the kala going to the chuppah? Not for work, and not for laundry, and not for this. The kala goes into the chuppah. I mean, I'm probably not allowed to say that's the point of the Gemara. But don't use bad language. Okay, but we all know why the kala is nechas the chuppah. And that's, and after all, correct. What does it mean to be boel, right? To be boel, right, very good. Right, ki yival bocher besula, we'll say soon in the Haftorah. Right, to be boel is conjugal relations. And that's the baal. He's the baal of Bila. Very good. He's the baal for Bila. Yeah, okay, great, yeah. So, and that, the Netziv is very convinced of this. He's coming. Someone thought there was a mominous aspect to the Kenyan. He said, no way. You know what the Kenyan is? There's no mominous aspect to the Kenyan. The Kenyan is merely for Ishos. The Kenyan is merely for the purpose of conjugal relations. That's what he's Kone. He's Kone the right to conjugal relations. Okay, does she have the right to conjugal relations from him? Yes, but that's not a kinyan. That's a mitzvah. She'er k'susa v'omnasa lo yigra. So, what? Let's not even necessarily go into that yet. And that I think is meduyik in the Rambam, because what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Nedarim? Let's look at this Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim for a moment. Where's the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim? Perek Yud Bet, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim. Perek Yud Bet. It's, you have to be medayik in the lashon of the Rambam. But as a general rule of life, we should be medayik in the lashon of the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Ha'isha sha'amra l'baal hanas tashmishcha asura. If the woman makes a neder that she forbids the husband from tashmish, that neder is not valid. You don't even have far. It's batul mufotu. And like if he says, my tashmish asur to you. Either way, they have no right to make a neder. Meaning they have no right to make a neder on their tashmish from each other. Why? But here's the interesting why. He says, the woman has no right to make this neder. It's offering your property on you. What if I say, I'm making a neder that all the food in your fridge is also to you? So of course it's batal v'tal. I can't talk about your things. I don't talk about my things. So why is the woman's neder batal? Because it belongs to the husband. Why is the husband's neder batal? Because he owes her sherek sus v'ona. Now here, it's a very, I think it's a very fascinating deal. Her neder is batal because it belongs to him. His neder is batal because he's meshubidla. He owes her. Right? So I think there's a subtle deal here. His neder is batal because he owes her sherek sus v'ona, or particularly ona in this context. Her neder is batal because it belongs to him. I think there's an asymmetry here. He owes her tashmis as a shibud. Right? He owes her tashmis. She doesn't owe him tashmis. It already belongs to him. There's a difference between what belongs to me and what you owe me. There's a difference in saying, you can't make a neder on this food because I own it, or you can't make a neder because you owe it to me. You owe it to me means you have to give it to me, but I don't own anything. I own it. So what does the Rambam sound like? The husband owes the wife tashmis. The wife doesn't owe the husband tashmish. It already belongs to him. Okay, so what does that imply? That the wife's tashmish belongs to the husband. What does that mean? The Netziv goes to town with this. He says the kinyan of Kiddushin, that he's kona, the right to conjugal relations with her. And that's what the Rambam says. If Peros Chaveru, he already owns it. How does he own it? He owns it because kinyan kasvul. What did he buy for the kasvul Kiddushin? What's his kinyan? It's not a kinyan of guf. It's not a kinyan for work. Forget that. You know, Shetus Yachar, the Rashba, and the Pnei Yoshua. So what taka does he own? He doesn't own anything worth any money. He doesn't worth anything that produces anything. He doesn't own any guf. What does he own? He owns the Tashmish, the Kenyan Peros for Tashmish. He owns the Tashmish. Okay, if one wanted to perhaps make this similar, Rav Moshe actually has a big tshuva where he discusses, he holds that Mida Oraisa, there's only one thing that the wife owes the husband, or rather, one basic thing, which is to live with him. And here he means living with, not in the euphemistic sense, but to actually live with him, based on Tosfos and Kiddushin. Tosfos and Kiddushin asks a very simple question. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, a man can do kibbutz of a aim, but the woman can't do kibbutz of a aim because she's meshubah to her husband. And they darshan a pasuk. Says Tosfos, what do you mean? Mida oraisa, she doesn't have to do anything for her husband. He clearly doesn't hold like that between Yeshua and Rashba. So, what does it mean she can't do kibbutz of aim? She doesn't have to do anything for her husband, midoraisa. Says, no, she has to live with him. He might live far away. So what do we see? That midoraisa, she has to live with her husband. Now again, this seems sort of intuitive to us anyway. Like, if you marry someone, yes, you should live in the same city as them, the same house as them. But Tosfos is not talking about just lifestyle and sociology. Tosfos is talking about darshan psukim in the very technical sense of chiyuvim and not chiyuvim. So what could be? It could be that, what's his ki kona? His kona, even if you don't want to say he's kona the right to conjugal relations, you want to be a little more, rarefied. You could say, no, he's kona, not that she owes him any work, that she has to live with him as a family. He is kona, what's the Kenyan Peros? She has to build a family with him. She has to live in his house. She has to build a family together. That is something which perhaps he even owns. Okay, Tosfos doesn't say explicitly owns or not. Anyone can affiliate with this. So now, let me just review what I am saying. I am saying that it's possible to take kinyan seriously as Mamona Shalbao. The Tosfos says she's his Sadeh. Tosfos Rosh says Ka'av L'Shor V'Chamoro. The Rashba says kinyan Kaspel like a Shifcha. Right? It's possible to take seriously this idea that it's really a kinyan. He really does own something. What does he own? Not a guf. Either he owns something worth money, domestic service, which is a minority shita, or maybe a deal comes around from him. Siv thinks this is pashut. He owns the right to the conjugal relationship, to the conjugal relations with her. Or, and here I'm just throwing in based on Tosfos, the right to live together in the literal sense. So maybe there really is something he owns here.
This can even each just fall under, like, if in a deal it would fall under mominous?
Yes. Yes. So maybe he really does own something here. Yes, mominous.
It's like just like anyone doing like a service for you.
A service is mominous. A service is mominous. So maybe there really is a kinyan here. Okay, whether or not that's politically correct is not necessarily relevant for our conceptual halachic discussion. But the maybe that's true. However, maybe there's another side to it as well. Let me just briefly mention the other side as well. There's a famous Avne Miluim based on a Ramban. And I just think the Shitas happened to work out exceedingly nicely. The Ramban, the hour is late already. All right. I don't have to scare everyone off the first week. I know that by Chorifsman, half the people won't be here anymore because they'll say, right, Bednar's a nice fellow, but his shir is too long and I can't take it. But at least I can keep you another week. So we don't have to finish our discussion now. Let us finish our discussion, Amir Tzashen. Next time we'll come back, we'll put everything on the board, we'll do 2 minutes of Chazara and 10 minutes of just chazaring the rest of these Makoros and show how all the Shitas work out as to what the nature of the marital relationship is. And then we'll also go on in the Gemara. So to be continued, Amir Tzashem, next time. Now at least you have to come back Monday. Or just on your own know exactly what I'm going to say, which shouldn't be so hard.
Are you adding?
No, I'm not adding. I'll send out my course later, Be'ezrat Hashem, but meanwhile, for this morning, I want to just, in the next year, I want to look at that Beis Amid Beis, start with that Beis Amid Beis, Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. What we'll do is there's some technical issues in that Beis Amid Beis as to exactly what the Chashash of Lishma and Eidim Suim Lekaimo is, just how to work out the technicalities, and then there's some very fascinating things about Eid Echadem and Bisurin, which is something I'd like to discuss a little, one of the topics I'd like to discuss a little. So, start with Gemara Rashi Tosfos on Beis Amid Beis. We'll begin the like little discussion of Rava and Rava. We'll take a foray into Eid Echadem and Bisurin, and then after that, we will go to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we will really try to understand how Rav Chaim cracked the atom of the shtar, and really get a little deeper into some of the most basic Lamdish ideas of Maseches Gittin, however long that will take us, even if that takes us a couple shiurim, and then we will continue in the rest of the parak.